is that he writes poems to her, but then also provides a kind of commentary for these poems. That is to say, he puts them in a kind of framework where he explains what they mean in terms of his own life, so that we have a kind of early poetic autobiography in the Vita Nuova. The most important events as far as Dante is concerned is seeing Beatrice for the first time and falling in love with her, but also how he responds to the fact that she dies at a relatively early age, how he handles both his grief and then the kind of continuation of his desire to write poetry after she's gone. That all becomes the major subject of the Vita Nuova. At the end of it, he says, I'm hoping that I can use this stuff in a new poem that I'm thinking about. And critics have certainly thought that that might suggest that at that time he already had plans for what was to become the Commedia.
However, the Commedia is certainly not understandable simply as an extension of writing about Beatrice, as important an element as in fact that is, because we need to look at Dante's political life, a life that began quite successfully. He was a member of the Guelph Party. I'm going to say more about the Guelph-Ghibelline struggle in Italy in a few minutes that Florence gets tied up with. But the Guelphs were virtually always dominant in Florence, and so he was on what was almost always the winning side of things. However, what gradually began to happen in Siena, and Florence rather, as the Guelphs pretty much extinguished the Ghibellines, their main rivals, well, what usually happens with one-party rule is what happened in Florence, that is to say the one party starts to squabble within itself, and we begin to get disputes between two factions of Guelphs, which we call simply by the colors that were their symbols, the white and black Guelphs. Dante was on the rise. He held a variety of important offices as a young man. He was an ambassador on several occasions for the Florentine Republic. And in 1300, he reached the height of his political career. He was elected a prior of Florence. There were six of them at a time, and they only served for 2 months. But essentially, they were the highest office in the government of Florence in 1300. So even though there were factions that were developing within the Guelph party, Dante sat on top of the world politically, it seemed, in 1300. He didn't stay there very long, because as it turns out, these two factions that were fighting for power, the white and the black Guelphs, each appealed to the Pope for support, because the Pope was the most important political and military figure in Italy at this time. Ultimately, for reasons that I'll talk a little bit about later, the Pope supported the black Guelphs, and as a result sent in troops that weighed the balance in favor of the black Guelphs, and the whites were expelled. Fortunately for the history of literature, Dante was out of town when the white Guelphs were kicked out. He was actually working for the Florentine government, and in 1301, while he was away, the white Guelphs were expelled. And from that time on, Dante never saw Florence again as long as he lived. Officially, he wasn't expelled until 1302, when in absentia he was convicted of political graft and sentenced to death if he ever returned to Florentine territory. And therefore, for the last 20 years of Dante's life, he dies in 1321, he lives in exile. For a while, it seems, although we're somewhat hazy about this, in Tuscany, plotting the return of the white Guelphs against the blacks. He spent most of his exile living in the city of Verona in the north, where he found a patron in a fellow named Cangrande della Scala, one of those great names that sounds better in Italian than English, where it means big dog of the ladder. Somehow it doesn't have quite the same ring in English. Toward the very end of his life, he moved to the city of Ravenna, and it was in Ravenna that he died in the year 1321, and he is still there in Ravenna, even though there's a great big empty tomb for Dante in the Franciscan Church of Florence, because in recent times, needless to say, they've wanted Dante back, but the people of Ravenna have not yielded him, and therefore he remains in exile, even in death.
And in fact, it probably tells us a great deal about Florentine politics that Dante became very important to them after he was dead. They certainly never came close to rescinding his exile while he was still alive. Well, Bill mentioned that the poem itself is an autobiographical poem. What follows from what he just said, of course, is